All right, we're here with Anandan, who you lead Microsoft Research India facilities.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. How long have you been doing it?
Yeah, the lab started in 2005, mm-hmm. and I've been the founder, and I've been there since the beginning. We've grown now to about 60 people working in 7 different research areas. So we started out small, like 3 people or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we do different things. We basically do like all other Microsoft Research Lab. We focus on doing very good research, doing the best in the world kind of research in whatever area we work in the 7 areas. And we work a lot with product groups to do technology transfer to see our work have the impact that we think, you know, it can have. And then we also have a very significant component of activity working with outside partners in advancing the state of research, especially in India, but also worldwide.
So we have research facilities all across the world. And can you tell people why do we do that?
So research has always been global, mm-hmm. right? Now, unlike other kinds of things, research ultimately goes where the best talent is. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you know, India has very good talent pool. As mm-hmm. you know, a significant, you know, percentage of Microsoft engineers are of Indian origin.
Yeah.
So, if you look at the external labs that India, I mean, Microsoft Research has, there's one in UK, which kind of captures the European community. There's one in China, which captures the, you know, sort of the Asian of Far East kind of community, mm-hmm. and then the one in India, which specifically focuses on the South Asian community.
And do the different Microsoft research groups in those regions, do they have different things that they specify on and different technologies that they focus on, or are they all broad and is there overlap between them?
They tend to be broad. Ultimately, we are driven by the talent that we can get. So we hire the best people we can get, mm-hmm. assuming, you know, the area is somewhat relevant for overall Microsoft's interests. And
yeah.
being a computer science, you know, company and a computer science lab, we have a lot of scope. Worldwide, Microsoft Research works on about 60 different research areas. And, you know, we go for the talent. And so therefore, there is sometimes overlap. So for instance, we have a group called Mobility Networks and Systems. And there's a systems and networking group in practically every Microsoft Research Lab.
Yeah.
We have a small computer vision group. There are computer vision groups in other parts of the world as well. So, but we don't, you know, we don't exclusively engineer a particular pattern, but
yeah.
whatever happens.
And so I heard about this Digital Heritage Project,
yeah.
and this was something that MSR yeah. India worked on. Tell me about this. How did this start? What was the thinking behind it?
Yeah, so let me back up 1 second and explain sort of the way the lab is structured. Mm-hmm. Broadly, we think of our lab as having 3 mission goals. One is to do the best research we can in whatever area that we work in, hire the best researchers and do the best research. We publish copiously in journals and conferences, and we're very much engaged with the international scientific community. The second is, you know, obviously being at Microsoft, you know, the company that it is, gives us tremendous opportunity to impact the world through Microsoft products. So we work a lot with product groups, looking at how to transfer our technology into Microsoft products, partner with the product groups and interesting initiatives and such. A third component of our research is actually looking at how we can work with external partners to advance the state of computer science. For us, of course, India is a big, you know, important fact in this. Computer science research in India has not taken off yet, but, you know, it's kind of in the point of taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we work with worldwide communities as well, but working with external communities to advance the state of research is very much a part of our agenda. And one of the reasons I mentioned these 3 things is that this particular activity, the digital heritage, in some sense is kind of a semblance of all 3, to be honest. See, one of the things that inspired us to do this is when we saw the photosynth technology,
mm-hmm.
we realized that this is a tremendous piece of tool or a technology that would allow us to rapidly capture cultural sites and monuments, right, with some photographs, and create, you know, very good lasting experiences about the sites. And so sort of as a lab project, we began to experiment with it, right? Again, I have an interest in computer vision and visualization
yeah.
and graphics, so that's natural.
You have a background in computer vision. You
right.
did that for Microsoft.
Right.
Yeah.
So we started doing that, and then very quickly we realized that this is one of these things where it has tremendous national importance and value, both you know, from a research point of view, but also from the point of view of potential application of that technology. For example, you know, this is such a big problem. You know, how do you capture India's vast cultural heritage? Mm-hmm. It's in the form of monuments. Not all of them, you know, are in the greatest shape.
Yeah.
You know, damaged and destroyed and all that. but also natural sites, you know, vast natural sites, but then also music, poetry, and art forms, dances, things like that. So we thought, you know, digitally capturing those things and being able to tell people stories about them might be a very good way, not only to do interesting things to that heritage, but also to inspire people to come, you know, and look at this as an opportunity to do research and develop technology, because it's one of those cool things that everybody would want to do. So we actually had discussions with the Indian Department of Science and Technology, the government of India. In fact, one of those discussions took place when Craig Mundy visited a couple of years ago to India. And during that time, you know, we were discussing possible ways we can collaborate with the government, and we realized that this is one natural avenue. So as a challenge, we said, you know, we'll do something, you know, to showcase initially the kind of things we can do. And, you know, we started working on one particular demo, which I can show you in a little bit. And in addition, you know, we also try to coordinate together with the government meetings among the computer scientists, people working in this research area, mm-hmm. and now more recently people in the culture side of the world, you know, community as well,
sure.
to come together and discuss the role of this technology and what kinds of interesting things can be done. So we have been doing that with DST, Department of Science and Technology, and it looks like, you know, there may be a national research program that DST will drive, you know, with our help to coordinate it and work on it and things like that.
So how did you decide how much of this to take on? I mean, how many different areas did you end up photographing for PhotoSense and HD Views?
So it really was one of these things that mushroomed out of people's natural interests.
Yeah, it always does.
So we had people in the lab who were traveling, and they would take all these pictures.
Yeah.
And if you look at our you know, digital heritage webpage, you will see several sites in there. If you want to go into that sites, I can talk about them.
Okay.
So, you know, literally it happened spontaneously, because people, when they travel, start taking pictures, mm-hmm. and then they came back and we realized that we can do interesting things with these photographs using PhotoSynth and other technologies. If you want to click on the sites, you know, I'll tell you some of the ones. So, yeah, so you see some of the sites that are listed in that webpage. And these were not chosen specifically, you know, because we wanted to get to those sites, literally because where people went and took pictures. And as we were working on it, you know, as we were talking to the government, we organized a workshop in Delhi in April of 2008, at which point the Secretary for Science and Technology pointed out to us that, you know, rather than thinking about architecture and monuments, think about telling a story about the place, a holistic sort of experience. You know, if you go to a temple or if you go to a historic site, there's history behind it and there is legends and stories and so mm-hmm. on. Why not, you know, use it to capture the holistic experience and go beyond just architecture, which we thought was a very good idea. So yeah. we then looked for a place in, you know, nearby for us in the lab, in the sense of being able to get to. And we also wanted to feature something in the south, because we were having our annual event called Tech Vista in Chennai. So I thought it'll, you know, be interesting for the audience. Mm-hmm. So we picked this temple called Srivilliputtur, which is the top site that is mentioned. And we went there. About 7 or 8 of us, just volunteers, you know, went there and spent a weekend taking lots of pictures. Because then we had to get permissions from various authorities and so on
sure.
to take a lot more pictures. And then people went back, and over a period of like 3 visits or so, we took like 6,000 or 7,000 pictures.
Wow.
And then, you know, we came back and started playing with them. And of course, you know, there is a lot of stories and legends about that temple that we are well aware of, and put together a demo. And we thought that this demo can showcase what can be done using state-of-the-art technology and where are the interesting opportunities for researchers, and present it to the community. We created this demo, and last year we showed it in our Tech Vista event during October or November last year, I can't remember exactly, to an audience about 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as people saw it, they got it. They thought, wow, this is really cool and
yeah.
such an interesting application. You know, and then things started moving after that. So we're not yet done. We're really at the beginning of this whole project, mm-hmm. to be honest. But that's the first major milestone that we have done. I can actually show you the demo.
Yeah, I would love to see it. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how you built this. And
yeah.
and there's some interesting things in here that you don't normally expect when you're looking at a PhotoSynth, like
right.
natural sound.
Right.
So what's the process behind this?
So let me say how we did it, right? So basically, as the slide illustrates, We really try to leverage lots of different tools. First of all, we use Photosynth, but we also use HDView to give some high resolution, you know, imagery, which I'll show you. And we captured video and audio and just put it as ambient sound as part of the various things, and then had narratives that people were talking and things like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so really took pictures, just a group of volunteers traveling there, taking a lot of pictures. And we did a storyboarding, and we kind of built a bunch of narratives telling different aspects of the story. The story, the temple is a the temple is about a saint called Sri Andal, who lived in the 12th century or so in that part, in that area, basically, literally lived in the temple, to be honest. And we had voiceovers, and so, you know, we took a lot of pictures, processed the data. I think it took us like about 2 to 3 weeks to do all of this. And so we ended up using things like Ice, Movie Maker, Blend, lots of overlay graphics in addition to Photosynth. And
HDV. That's an incredible point cloud there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So one of the things about this is that really we relied a lot on tools that were there in addition to Photosynth and HDV, mm-hmm. standard tools, you know, like Expression Blend, Movie Maker, WPF multimedia tools. So generally, you know, I think that's really the trick, is to bring all of them together to do what you need to do and so on. So why don't I jump into a little sample of the demo so you get a feel for what we actually did. So I'll close this. And I'm going to go right into, you know, sort of one interesting section.
The story of Andal begins right here in this garden, which was tended to by a devout Brahmin named Vishnuchitta. In his daily worship, he gathered flowers from here and made garlands for the worship of the Lord. One morning, as he went about his duties, he discovered a baby girl lying under a tulsi plant. Having no family of his own, Vishnuchitta felt it was God's grace that gave him this child.
So at any point, you know, even though it feels like a video, it's actually an interactive narrative.
Yeah.
So at any point, I can stop it and move around, and I say, oh, you know, let me look at that picture more, right?
Yeah.
Or go down and other pictures that may be there.
Yeah, it's really interesting new form of media. It's not quite movie, not quite pictures, and really
what you see is actually a Photosynth, you know, mosaic. Like, you know, you can kind of go into this picture a little bit, zoom in, and right there is sort of this what like a monument that represents that plant where the baby girl was supposed to have been found. For
very
example,
cool.
So you can explore it. Let me move on to another scene.
And it kind of solves one of the dilemmas we have with Photosynth. I mean, there's so many places to be in the synth.
Right.
Where do you direct people, and how do you do that?
And what we found is that if you have a story to tell, it's much easier to focus, right?
Yeah.
So this is actually the passageway. It kind of gives you a sense of what things are today.
With shops that sell food, jewelry, paintings, and other curios that are related to her.
It's a great point cloud. Nice.
Over Vishnuchitta's house and garden, where
again, if I stop, you'll get the background ambient sound recorded from there. Okay. And let me continue a little bit.
Andal grew up in an atmosphere of love and devotion to Lord Vishnu. Vishnuchitta, her father, taught her the secrets of Hindu philosophy.
You know, you can again stop at any point and kind of, you know, move around in the Photosynth world. I'm not that good a gamer, I think.
Yeah.
You think? Like, you can look around, you know, and you can show the pictures on top of all the standard things you can do in Photosynth, the point cloud and the picture overlaid. And you can really go into that world and see it as you want. And then anytime you want, you just say, you know, I'm done, I'm going to continue the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just continue where it left.
It kind of reminds me of Worldwide Telescope. That's the thing that I love, is you're doing a tour and you can stop it and explore all that you want and then pick right up where you left off.
Yeah, one of my favorites is this one. There's an overlay dance video with it. This is a really beautiful area. So this entire wall,
wow,
we captured using a bunch of images and synths.
As well as scenes from Andal's story.
So Andal is very famous for this 30-verse poem that she wrote called Tripavi, which is sung every day, every year in the month of December, all around the South India. And if you go into this temple, they have written the script you know, the lyrics, you know, as murals on the wall and
wow.
associated paintings. So you can actually read them, right? Or move over to the next one. So this entire wall is full of murals that show,
mm-hmm.
and you can go through it. I just created a walkthrough of that thing.
Now to continue,
it's incredible.
Vishnuchitta, troubled by his...
That's an overlay of a dance. That
yeah.
I let me go to this.
The garland worn by Andal the day before is taken to the Vatapatra Sai temple, where the deity of Lord Vishnu will wear it for the day. This is the temple where Andal first saw and grew to love the Lord. You can see the entrance to the temple marked by a stately gopuram or temple gateway. It is 192 feet high and has 12 tiers. Each tier contains bas-relief sculptures in stone depicting various scenes from Hindu mythology. Apart from being one of the most beautiful gopurams in Tamil Nadu, the Vatapatra Sai Gopuram has the further distinction of being used as the logo for the Tamil Nadu government. You can take a closer view of the gopuram. You can also get a special view of the city of Srivijaya.
So at this point,
from the top of the gopuram,
you know, we
something
can,
you can only do virtually.
We can, we're moving from photosynth into HD view.
Yeah.
Right? And there are about 50 images that we stood and took of this temple tower.
So how do you move into the HD view? Is there a function in there?
No, it's a little bit of software that just seamlessly
yeah.
you know, moves from one
just
to the other.
Kind of a transition into
yeah.
it.
And now you can zoom very close and explore, you know, these sculptures on the top of the tower.
Wow.
You know, like you can see that there's a lion missing and some of the teeth.
Is that significant of something or is
no,
that...
No, it just means that the authorities will have to fix it, I guess.
Yeah.
And go down and look at the different layers of the tower and the statues that there are. All these towers are, you know, decorated with a lot of religious
yeah.
statues and so on.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's the... This is sort of like a fine finale
mm-hmm.
that we did. So literally it's an interactive multimedia experience with
yeah.
2D, 3D, and the coolest thing about it is that it's, you know, it's really done by a group of, you know, people who maybe at the level of capability of a college student, a college senior or something like that.
Yeah.
Can do this, actually.
And it gives you a sense of space that you
right.
can't get from pictures
right.
or
right.
from video,
right.
even. So if there's other people that really want to do these same things, I know journalists who
right.
would love
right.
to do things like that, and, you know, of course, parents want to do the
right.
same things. What tools should they look at?
Well, right now, you know, they really have to put some tools together. So you can use Photosynth,
yeah.
HD view for authoring and rendering and so on, but also standard things like Expression Blend,
mm-hmm.
you know, Eyes Movie Maker to put in the other elements as you need and so on. But, you know, going, it's, I think, as a project, as we are evolving, one of the reasons we're doing this research project in India is to ask the question, what kind of core tools will be needed and can be useful to build in order for people to do these kind of things?
Yeah.
So, you know, in the project as well as in the lab, our kind of long-term goal really is to do something that will enable a lot of people to create content like this. I mean, this is just one example of what can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For a different site, different history, the whole storytelling may be different.
Yeah.
The artist should be able to express their creativity. The archaeologist or the art historian or the historian should be able to bring the right elements to tell the story. And the technologist who's hopefully going to work with them should be able to put it together and do that. So that's sort of our vision and goal where we want to take this project.
Well, I think it's incredible. Thank you for coming here and showing it to
us. Thank you very much.
Thanks.